Well, good morning. We are in week two of a series we're just simply calling Ask It, because over the course of this series, we're challenging us all to ask a question that we kind of learned last week, and a question that I think will help us, if we can use it as a grid to look at every opportunity, every situation, every decision that we make. This question can help us avoid heartache, it can save us money, it can just help in all kinds of different ways and steer our life in a whole different direction. So for those of you who were here last week, this is a review, but that question is this: in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? All right, so now it's review for all of you. Let's just say that together, all right? In light of my current and future wise thing to me to do. And last week, we said that question, and I said, just get in the habit of asking it. Now, you don't even have to do it, but you owe it to yourself to at least know that if you decided to do what was wise, at least you'd know what that would look like, right? Well, today, we're going to add in one other component to this question to kind of make it even fuller. And to do so, we're going to look at what is the definition of wisdom. All right, what's the definition of wisdom? Now, I'm sure you could probably come up with lots of different definitions, but for today, we're just going to look at two. And if you're taking notes, you can fill in these blanks. The first definition of wisdom is simply this: seeing things from God's perspective. Seeing things from God's perspective. If there is a God, and if He is all-knowing, and if He's wise, then it makes sense that to see things through His eyes would be wisdom. So wisdom is seeing things through God's perspective. The second definition we can look at is that wisdom is simply doing what you ought to do based on how the world really works, right? Wisdom is simply doing what you ought to do based on how the world really works. Now, for those of you very clever people, you probably figured out that that second thing was really just a common sense way of saying the first thing, right? Because if we're seeing things from God's perspective, then inevitably, we will be living as we ought to and making the decisions we ought to based on how the world really works. So if wisdom is just looking at the world and seeing how it really works and doing what we ought to do in light of that, what kinds of things does that mean? You know, what does it mean to look and just observe and see what happens when people do a certain thing or when they don't do a certain thing? What are the causes and effects that just always seem to go on? What's kind of common sense or age-old principles or insights that we can learn? These are things that aren't necessarily laws, but they're just wisdom. For example, many of you know that before we moved here, we lived in Shelbyville, Kentucky, which is kind of right in the heart of Big Blue Country, all right? University of Kentucky based there. And many times, I would get invited to go to Rupp Arena to watch a ball game, and on none of those occasions did I wear my red and white IU sweatshirts, right? Just didn't do it. Now, there's no law that said I couldn't, right? But I just decided to wear my Colts blue, right? It kind of fit in a little bit better. No law said I had to. It was just wisdom, right? There's other things that are along these lines, right? To eat right, exercise, get some sleep. But there's no law that says you have to do that. That's just wisdom, right? Graduate from high school. That's just wisdom. If you have a girlfriend, you should spend time with her family, right? That's just wisdom. If you're 50, you should get a colonoscopy, all right? No law says you have to, right? But if there's cancer in your family, maybe you should do it even earlier than that. Again, it's not a law, it's just wisdom. Wisdom is asking, in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, and based on how the world really works, what's the wise thing for me to do? Now, you may or may not know, but there is actually a whole book in the Bible devoted to just this topic, devoted to wisdom and common sense and how to live in the world as it actually works. And that book in the Bible is called Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at that today. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, there may be one in the seat in front of you. It's on page 616. But we're going to be looking, and Proverbs was written by a man, Solomon, who many people purport to be the wisest person who ever lived. In fact, Solomon, who was the third king of Israel after Saul and then King David, you remember David and Goliath, Solomon was his son, and he was purported to be the wisest man in the world. He wrote more about wisdom than any other author in the Bible. And in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, and actually also in chapter 8 and chapter 9, Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman. We're not really surprised by that, are we? Even us guys, we're not surprised. But he personifies wisdom as a woman who is wandering the streets, just shouting aloud for anybody who wanted to hear. That wisdom was this woman that was going and just giving free advice and spouting off her knowledge to anyone who would listen. That's where we kind of pick up and where we start in chapter 1, verse 20. Again, remember, this is wisdom speaking, not necessarily God. Okay, so Solomon is personifying wisdom and says this: "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech." See, according to Solomon, wisdom isn't difficult to find or to hear from. Wisdom is readily accessible to anybody who will, because she's just out wandering the street saying this aloud. She's in very public places. It's for anyone. It's not just a Christian thing or a church thing or a religious thing or even a cultural thing. It's not an American thing. Anybody can listen to wisdom if they just will, because wisdom is out there. Wisdom is at the city gate. Wisdom is on the wall. Wisdom is walking the street, just telling you if only you would listen. She says, calling you on the street. You don't even have to go anywhere special, right? It's just there if you will observe. But even though wisdom isn't difficult to find, Solomon says, and our experience tells us that many people haven't found it, right? Many people haven't listened to their voice. Does anybody know someone that hasn't found wisdom? All right, don't point, because that's rude. But the reality is, all of us, don't we have a tendency to ignore the voice of wisdom in our life? I mean, all of us can look back at a decision, a financial decision, a relationship decision, some kind of a business decision, some decision that we made that we would have never recommended to anybody else, right? If someone would have come to us for advice, we would have never told them to do what we chose to do, but we did it anyway, and then we faced the consequences, because we all have this uncanny ability to avoid or ignore the voice of wisdom, even though it's out there for us to know. And Solomon says, if we opt out of wisdom, if we don't listen to the voice of wisdom, we are, by definition, opting in for something else. If we ignore wisdom, if we don't ask the question, then that decision in itself has some consequences. Solomon would say, to walk away from wisdom is to walk toward some other things. Maybe we're not even doing it intentionally. Maybe we're backing into these other things. But Solomon just says, if you're not listening to the voice of wisdom, then by default, you're going to be in one of these other categories of people. In fact, Solomon says there's four categories of people: wise people who listen to the voice of wisdom, and then three others. And let me just warn you in advance that this could be offensive, okay? Because he just kind of lays it out and tells us how it is. But according to Solomon, there are three types of people who lack wisdom. So if you're taking notes, the first one is this: the simple. He said there's three kinds of people that lack wisdom. The first one is the simple. Now, simple people, according to Solomon, are just those who are naive. They're young. They haven't lived long enough to actually know how the way the world works. They don't understand sometimes that older couldn't possibly mean wiser. Now, you could have a high IQ. You could make straight A's. But the reality is, if you're 16, you're 16. There's just some things you don't know. You can't know because you just don't have the life experience. That doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean you're dumb. It just means you're inexperienced. Solomon would say, you're simple. You lack experience. A few years ago, Taylor Swift wrote a song, and this is probably the first time I'll quote a Taylor Swift lyric in my sermon, but and you guys are probably familiar with the song, but if you have a teenage girl in your house or in your family, I highly recommend the song 15 by Taylor Swift. It shows an uncanny understanding of this whole idea of what it means to be simple. Some of you guys probably know the lyrics. She said, when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, what? You're going to believe them. That's right. Why? Because you're dumb? No, because you're 15, right? That's what you do when you're 15. When somebody tells you they love you, you're going to believe them, right? And then the song goes on to warn against that, because that's just not the way the world works. And at 15, you can't understand that. It's a very powerful song. We believe them not because we're dumb, but because we're young or simple, inexperienced. It's not a criticism, it's just a warning. And actually, the book of Proverbs is full of all kinds of warnings toward people who are simple, toward people who are young, toward people who are unexperienced. Now, a lot of times this in our, you know, in our situation, the dynamic comes up in the family situation, right? When parents try to espouse wisdom and our kids who are, as Solomon would say, simple, they push back and they don't like to hear that. And what do they say? Nothing bad's going to happen. Anybody ever said that? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing bad's going to happen. And for us as parents, we say, oh, so how can you guarantee that? You can see the future now, right? You can look into the future. You can tell me nothing bad is going to happen. I say, Mom, I can handle it. But see, the reason we're concerned is because we didn't handle it very well, or we know of people who didn't handle it very well, or we can see that very many people in the culture aren't handling it very well, and so we have concern. The simple say, but Dad, you're overreacting. Well, why do we overreact? Because we can see the consequences that are coming. We've maybe been there, we've lived through that, and we can see those, and so we warn. So, young people, I just encourage you that if somebody older than you, like a parent that you know loves you, tells you something that you don't understand, just take their word for it. Trust them, because wisdom listens to people who have been there and done that. Here's the thing. You guys, teens, college students, young people, you guys have an opportunity that most of the rest of us don't have, right? Because you're only young once, okay? You have the opportunity to have both the benefit of youth and the benefit of wisdom. You don't have to let your youthfulness, your inexperience, be your downfall. But in order for it not to be, you have to ask it. You have to ask the question. You have to seek out the voice of wisdom. So that's the first category of people that Solomon says lack wisdom. It's just the simple, those who just simply don't know. The second category of people that lack wisdom are fools, in Solomon's words. He says they're fools. Now, the simple, they don't know. Fools, they know, but they just don't care, right? They should know better, they do know better, but they just don't care. Sometimes they've intentionally decided against it. Sometimes they just, by their lack of caring, they've went against it. They refuse to be taught. See, the fool knows, but they don't care. You can say to a fool, don't you know it's going to hurt you? Yeah, I don't care. They say, look, it's written right there on the side of the package. Yeah, I know. I can read. But don't you want to do something different? No. Why? I don't care. Right? They say, that didn't work out so well the last time. Are you sure you want to go down that path? Yeah. Yeah. Why? I don't care. Right? The fool, they don't care. You say, you know where this is going to lead? Yeah. But it's my life. I'm going to continue to do that. If that's you, Solomon says, you're a fool. He said, some of you have said, I know. I don't care, right? Because that's just what a fool says. I understand, I know, but I don't care. Here's something interesting that Solomon said about foolish people. It's in Proverbs 26:11. It's a cool verse in the Bible. Some of you probably heard it before. It says this, as a dog returns to its vomit. How often do you get to say that in church? As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Everybody's seen a dog or animals do that? A dog, what will a dog do? A dog will vomit, and then what will it do? It'll come back to it, and it will eat it. Ugh, that's disgusting. That's gross, you know? I don't know, maybe it's warm, and it tasted good the first time. I don't know what they're thinking, you know? But a dog will come back and will eat its vomit, right? That's disgusting. That's stupid. That's foolish. And Solomon says, if you continue to do something you know is wrong, you know is not the wise thing to do, but you continue it anyway, that's what, it's just like a dog going back to his vomit. It's ridiculous. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's why would anyone do that? If you're continuing to do that bad habit, to do that thing that you know is just wrong, and you know the consequences, but you do it anyway, Solomon would say, you're a fool. But here's what we think. We think, well, it's my life. I can do what I want. I'm not hurting anyone else. But the reality is our foolishness is blinding us to our selfishness, because the reality is our foolishness will eventually hurt those people around us. Check out something else Solomon said. He said, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. You say, well, I didn't mean to hurt them. Yeah, but they're still hurt, right? And again, young people, this is why your parents are so concerned with who you hang out with and who your friends are. You may be the wisest person that they know. You may be the most responsible person you know. But what does Solomon say? It's the companion of fools that suffers harm. You see, a fool doesn't care. A fool doesn't care about their finances. They don't care about their future. They don't care about their body. They certainly don't care about yours. And so even if you are wise, it's the companion of fools that suffers harm. It's the husband of a fool that suffers harm. It's the wife. It's the children. It's the employee. It's the friend of a fool that suffers harm. That's the second area, the second category of people that Solomon says lack wisdom. There's the simple, who simply don't know. There's the fool, who knows, but don't care. And then the third category is what he calls mockers. Mockers. Now, a mocker is a fool on steroids, okay? Whereas a fool simply ignores the voice of wisdom, a mocker actively rejects it, actively rebels against it. A mocker is one who makes fun of people who listen to wisdom. They mock people who are religious, who would try to do the right thing. Always insulting and criticizing. They're always the smartest person in the room. You can't tell them anything. You can't talk to them about anything. And if you try to do the wise thing or the right thing, they're making fun. They're insulting. They're mocking all the time. If you're married to a person like that, if you work for a person like that, I'm sorry. Because there's just not much you can do, as Solomon's going to tell us later. And I think about the culture today. There's just lots of people that would fit that bill. The first name that came to my mind was Bill Maher. I mean, just a mocker, right? Anything that's good or pure or religious or Christian is just mocked. Wisdom is mocked. And Solomon says there's no hope for a person like that, humanly speaking. Proverbs 9:7 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. You can't talk to them. They're just going to insult. They're just going to criticize. They're just going to shout you down. Solomon says basically you just have to write that kind of a person off, humanly speaking anyway. There's no hope for them because you're never going to talk to them into changing their mind. A little bit later there in Proverbs 9, Solomon says you can correct the simple and they just won't get it, right? They just don't understand. It's like, I don't get it. You correct a fool and they'll just ignore you, right? Because they don't care. But if you correct a mocker, they'll insult you. He even said they'll hate you. And he finishes that thought up to say, but if you correct a wise person, they'll thank you. They'll even love you for it. So that's the three groups of people that Solomon is laying out here, to which wisdom is about to give a speech. All right. So wisdom is about to give her speech to these three categories of people. And she starts her speech with a question. And her question is this. It's in verse 22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? So wisdom is addressing these three groups of people and he says, how long? How long? How long, simple person, are you going to ignore the advice of your parents? How long are you going to choose to do the foolish thing just because you don't know? Several years ago, I got my mom, a Mother's Day card that said, Mom, over the years, you've given me all kinds of great advice, and one of these days, I'm going to take it, right? The question is, how long? How long are you going to go without taking that? To the fool, how long are you going to continue ignoring the wise people in your life? How long are you going to continue to make bad financial decisions? How long are you going to continue to make foolish relational decisions? How long are you going to continue making bad decisions? To the mocker, how long are you going to continue trying to insult your way out of every situation and leave a trail of broken lives in your wake? How long? Another day? A week? A semester? Another marriage? Another bankruptcy? How long? How long are you going to continue in this way? You fill in the blank. How long are you going to go on that path? Verse 23. Wisdom says, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Literally, wisdom says, if you would have turned in my direction, if you would have just given me any kind of attention at all, if you'd have listened to me, I'd have saved you a lot of time. I'd have saved you a lot of trouble. I'd have saved you some money. I'd have saved you some heartache. Wisdom says, I want you to be wise. I want to pour my stuff into you, my wisdom into you. But you first have to turn my direction and decide to listen. And wisdom says, when you turn in my direction, what's obvious will become obvious to you. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of things that are obvious that just aren't obvious to everybody. Have you noticed that's the case? In our culture, so many people have rejected the voice of wisdom for so long that things that are used to be obvious and are still obvious to some aren't so obvious to everybody anymore. Lots of things in our culture come to mind when I think about that. Verse 24, wisdom continues. But since you refused to listen, and when I called, and no one paid attention when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Wow. I will laugh when disaster comes. I will mock when calamity strikes. That sounds kind of harsh, right? That doesn't sound like God loves you or Jesus loves you, right? But remember, this is not God talking. This is wisdom talking. This is just the way the world works. This is how things work. When we decide to do things in spite of what wisdom says, or what wisdom would say about our health, about our relationships, about our finances, about any situation in life, when we decide to try to make our life work in ways that are contrary to the way that God has set the world up to actually work, there's a price to be paid. There's always a price to be paid. Always. That's a promise. Ignore the wisdom, the voice of wisdom, and eventually calamity will strike. It'll strike personally. It'll strike relationally. It'll strike financially. It might strike a whole nation if the voice of wisdom is continually ignored. See, because decisions have consequences. And ignoring wisdom has consequences. It's simply the way the world works. And that's true whether you believe in God or whether you don't. See, when we refuse to listen to wisdom, when we refuse to try to see things from God's perspective, when we refuse to align our lives with the way the world actually works, then disaster will come. It's not God smiting us. It's just the way the world works. It's wisdom having her say and getting her due. Many years ago, like when HIV first came around, and some people would say, oh, this is God smiting, you know, a certain group of people. And it's like, well, maybe, but maybe it's just the voice of wisdom. Maybe wisdom just says there's causes and effects. A few years ago, when Hurricane Katrina, you know, stormed up the New Orleans coast, and people said, see, God's smiting New Orleans because of their immorality and all the bad things. And it's like, well, maybe, but maybe it's just wisdom saying, you know, you probably shouldn't build a city below sea level. You know, there's causes and effects. And plus, you had 3 weeks' notice and you didn't leave. You know, maybe it was just wisdom saying, you know, if you'd have listened, I could have saved you some of this trouble. When we refuse to listen to the voice of wisdom, calamity will come. If we listen to wisdom, we reap the benefits. If we fail to listen to wisdom, we face the consequences. Wisdom continues, verse 28. Then, she says, then they will call on me. Then, after calamity strikes, after we start to feel the pain, after you realize your marriage is falling apart, after the bankruptcy, after you flunk out of school, after the doctor says you've been abusing your body for years and years, after you're facing whatever crisis it is that you're facing because you refuse to listen to the voice of wisdom for such a long time, then, wisdom says, then they'll call to me. Then you'll call the counselor. Then you'll go back to church. Maybe some of you are here today because some disaster recently hit you and you thought, oh my goodness, I've got to get my life back together. I've got to turn to wisdom and say, wisdom, what do you suggest? God, I've ignored you for such a long time, but now I want to hear from you. Here's the thing. Solomon said at some point, people all in all, every one of those categories, at some point a crisis will come and they will need the help of wisdom. But the danger is if we've been in those categories for a long enough time, if we have ignored the voice of wisdom for long enough, the danger is that we won't be able to hear wisdom when we need it. And the Bible actually predicts that. Look at how verse 28 continues. Then wisdom says, they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. When we ignore the voice of wisdom for a while, sometimes it's hard to hear when we want to. It's hard to start just whenever we want to. This is not about the forgiveness of God or the compassion of God. This is just reality. This is just how the world works. If we refuse to listen to the voice of wisdom long enough, eventually there comes a point of no return. Eventually there comes a time where we have to reap the consequences. Eventually there comes a time where we reap what we sow. You see, people in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of the divorce, in the midst of the bankruptcy, in the midst of the addiction, they often come to their senses and they say, okay, what do I got to do? What prayer can I pray? What verse can I say? What can I do? And those are good questions. But the reality is there's no simple fix. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic formula. There's no magic thing to do to undo the things. If it took you a week or a month or years to dig the hole, reality says it may take you a little time to dig your way out. There may be some residual effects. It's not that God doesn't love you. He does love you. In fact, he loved you so much that he warned you about this stuff before you were ever born. And Solomon wrote these things down, and wisdom is calling aloud in the streets. And wisdom says, I want to help you avoid those consequences. Because see, there's good news and bad news. When you turn to God, he will always accept you back. Right? He will always. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, of the prodigal son. He told the Good Samaritan too, but that's a different story. He told the story of the prodigal son to make it known that there is nothing that we could do, there is no thing that we could do that would put us outside of God's grace if we turn back to him. But the bad news is, just because we turn back to him and just because he accepts us back, it doesn't do away with the consequences. It doesn't do away with the memories. It doesn't do away with the addictions necessarily. It doesn't do away with the things. And wisdom says, I want to help you avoid some of those consequences. She goes on in verse 32, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Again, it's not God. It's just the way the world works. By ignoring the voice of wisdom, they've done it to themselves. But whoever listens to me, wisdom says, will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That's a compelling promise, right? Whoever listens to me, wisdom says, whoever turns to me will live in peace and safety and without fear of harm. So it's no mistake that you're here and hearing the voice of wisdom call out to you. Because the reality is, no matter where you're at on that pendulum, whether you're just starting out and really haven't made too many mistakes, or whether you're far down the path and you've made lots of them, it's never too late to turn to wisdom. It's never too late to do the right thing. And that's why this series, we're focusing on encouraging us to take every decision, every situation, through the grid of this question. In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstance, in light of my future hopes and dreams, in light of the way the world actually works, what is the wise thing for me to do? See, one of the primary ways God speaks to us is through the voice of wisdom, because it's God who put things into place, these causes and effects. It's God who put the world working the way that it does. And so when we open our voice to wisdom, when we say, wisdom, what would you suggest in my marriage, in my relationships, in my finances, in my schooling, in my job, in every situation, when we're asking wisdom into our life, we're actually giving God an opening to speak into our life as well. Just for a moment, will you shut out the voices of the culture that are so loud? Shut out the voices of our own desires and our own passions. Maybe shut out the voices of friends who aren't wise, and say, wisdom, what would you suggest? God, what would you suggest? And this morning, that's the question I have for you. Are you willing to commit to asking it, to look at every situation and every opportunity and every decision through this kind of a grid? See, it's very difficult, though, because we live in a culture of anti-wisdom, don't we? I mean, there's just so many people out there who have ignored the voice of wisdom for such a long time. The things that used to be obvious aren't obvious anymore. But that the flow of culture, the momentum of culture, can't overcome the consequences of ignoring the voice of wisdom. Because if we ignore the voice of wisdom, there will be consequences. That's our bottom line this morning as we wrap things up. The bottom line is, decisions have consequences. Ignoring the voice of wisdom has consequences. Eventually, disaster will come. And so all the more reason that we have to ask the question, in light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, in light of the way the world actually works, what's the wise thing to do? Say that with me as we close this morning. In light of my past experience, current circumstance, and future hopes and dreams, and the way, what is the wise thing for me to do? Solomon assures us that wisdom is calling. The question is, are you listening? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for how much you love us. God, that you loved us enough to preserve these words of Solomon as he personifies wisdom. God, that wisdom is just calling out to us. Thank you for making your wisdom available to us. God, help us to be wise enough, courageous enough to listen, to do the right thing even when it's difficult, to stand in the face of the voices of the culture and to listen to the voice of wisdom. God, help us to take every situation, every decision, every opportunity through that grid so that we can become the wise people that you have called us to be and avoid the consequences that you so desperately want us to avoid because you love us so much. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.